Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. I've listened to a lot of podcasts. I find the worst thing you can do in a podcast is overdo this intro bit.
Really?
Yeah, you listen to a lot of them, Gavin. That's the woman who just said really there. And hi, woman. Thanks for joining me for this. You need it done. It's not in your contract. It's just nice. You just feel you just want to have a kick.
I can't help it. I just enjoy it.
You just love it for loving it, don't you?
I do, yeah.
When you doing this reminds me very much of when you see, like, Messi, but he's playing a bit of football on the beach.
Just having some fun.
And that's you now with the microphone.
All it is,
exactly,
yeah.
What it is. You're not getting paid.
Exactly.
You just want a bit of a kickabout with the guys. You know, occasionally you just want to have a bit of freedom, you know? Yeah, that's fine. It's the same with Sunta. Oh, she's not talking to us.
Why?
It's not the story. Oh, sorry. I didn't know. I know you're very professional. And because you're not being
not
paid.
Not on the podcast intro.
I know. It's so far away from the news.
I can do anything.
It's beach football. Exactly right. Anyway, I've got a... That's because it's the podcast intro.
Yeah, you can do this.
I've got a radical solution to the UK's housing crisis.
Okay.
That's the real crisis is that most of the houses are disgusting. We interrogate Dan O'Connell over the scandal that's tearing this company apart, a scandal that's become known as Piegate.
Yeah.
And Gavin's got a nutty professor letting off steam in his heroic little slot. I love the nutty professor.
He's brilliant.
It always reminds me of that brilliant bit in the Woody Allen film, Everything You Thought You Knew About Sex. No.
Everything You Knew About Sex, but for Too Afraid to Ask.
Yes, that one, that film. And there's one character in there who grows like a giant boob. that professor, and he looks around and he just goes, "They said I was mad, but I'll show them." And he's just showing them he is mad.
That's
right. Just a brilliant line. "They said I was mad, but I'll show them."
You are mad.
Yeah, you are. Absolutely insane. So good. I repeated it. Enjoy the podcast.
Radio X.
Talk about... hoisted by my own leotard.
Why? What happened?
Well, guys.
Bring in leotard again.
Sorry, foisted by my own leotard.
Yeah.
No, hoisted by my own petard.
Yeah.
God, I've got to hear this. Sorry, it's because I went on what we... In P45, my gym.
Yeah.
We all went up north because we call it the Great North Fun.
Right.
Because for us, that's all it is. Just a bit of fun for us.
Sure.
It's just a bit of fun.
Sure.
And to raise loads of cash. Sure. Don't want to talk about it particularly. But for us... You know, we like the Great North Run, but we call it also, apart from the Great North Fun, their run is our fun. Sure. Can I get a sure?
Sure.
Because for us, it's the Great North Triathlon. And after a couple of laps of that course, because we just go on straight through the take-go round.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we get the bike. Because also on the second time round, it means we can get away easily on the bikes.
Sure.
Peg it down to St. Albans.
Yeah.
Because a really nice big swimming pool, well, a lake. The lake's got a swimming pool. It's a massive lake.
Straight into the water, yeah.
Yeah. So that was my weekend. But I had this borrowed car that I've been pretending is mine all weekend.
Mm.
And I forgot. It's been so long since I've had anything other than a horrible middle-class family.
Station wagon.
Truckster. A bit like Chevy Chase. It's equivalent to what Chevy Chase
is. It is, yeah.
Holiday room. Good talk, Russ. Anyway, I think Mum will go for it. Good talk, Russ. Anyway, instead of having this enormous sort of hearse-like BMW, which I hate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you just can't take it round any car parks.
No.
At all. It just won't go.
You think,
it's going to get wedged. It's too long for any, you know, appointed car. Anyway, so I've got this 8 Series convertible, yeah?
Yeah.
And I just was... No, don't. I've only got it for a week.
Oh.
And...
You cry when you hand it back.
I know, but it's got. I am going to cry. It's got the black packs. It's got the black alloys.
Okay.
Well, they were.
The black series.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Whoops. No, they're fine. Anyway, but it's
obviously
just
a surface treatment.
No, but it's just once I worked out, because kids wanted to come in as well. So once I worked out, they're really arguing over the front and everything.
Yeah.
Until my daughter realised he's actually much better in the back.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because it's this bit cockpit light in the front.
Right.
But anyway, so I've just been driving everywhere. I forgot what it's like when you get a new car. I'll go.
We need matches.
We need matches. Matches.
That's my point, though. Right. Things you just don't need.
Was it that long ago you had a new car? Yeah. Me too, Gav.
We need some new beeswax, you say.
Yeah.
I'll get down to the ironmongers.
An ashtray.
In the new car.
We've run out of Rizzlers. No, anything. I better go to the video shop. There aren't any.
Oh. I'll go anyway.
Oh, right. I'll go and try and find one. But I was just doing, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. any opportunity.
Please, I've got a perfectly good local kebab shop, but no.
No,
I went
to
one in Fulham. Yeah. You know which one as well?
I do.
Kebab Kid. Yes. My shawarma. No. Then I decided not to because I thought of another one. I thought if I go there, then I've just got to go back over the bridge.
Right.
No, I shall go to Marouche.
Oh, now you're talking.
Oh, man.
The char grill wonderfulness.
What do you go for at
Marouche? The chicken sandwich. They just do
it. Just a straightforward chicken shawarma.
With that garlic sauce on it. Oh, my God.
I normally go for that one, but I think sometimes I'd like to draw your attention to the lamb with sesame sauce and a few of the chilies because it's outstanding.
With the tahini.
Yeah, and also they do a really nice lobster tail kebab.
I've not tried that. It seems like it might be pricey.
Well, I suggest you do.
Anyway. What are they, like 24 quid each?
And some. But I did get a free ice cream.
Right.
Point is, I was driving everywhere in this thing, yeah?
Mm.
And talk about hoisted by my own petard. I a while ago, as I told you, those people started parking in the private parking area in front of my flats.
Yes.
And you remember I went up to that guy and said, you know, they'll clamp you within seconds. So they got this really new vicious clamping lot on board.
They were just standing there the whole time.
I've got money, you know. Yeah. Man's got money, you know. I was just telling you, you'll get clamped.
Did he get clamped?
That's man got a clamp remover. This is the guy I caught parking there. I just tried to warn that you will get clamped.
A friendly warning.
And imagine my horror when today I've got a ticket.
No.
From the very people that I really agitated to get. I know, but I forgot to put my special temporary permit in the window.
Oh, there's no.
And it's all legal.
They won't let you off.
No, the worst thing is not even the guy in charge of the buildings can reverse it. He suddenly started going, once the ticket's printed,
it's out of my hands.
I think, what do you mean? Like, you wrote it. This is a tin pot system. This isn't even part of a council. It's a private mob. Anyway, that's it. Triathlons, BMW convertibles, a lot of good guys, city guys, property, gastropubs. Sure.
Radio X.
Okay, so we know HS2 is a disaster, right? It's now been delayed for ages, and even though it was going to be slower, and I was talking to, when we went up to Manchester on the train the other day, I was talking to a local councillor there. I'm not going to mention any names because I didn't get it, and two, because I'm lying.
Yeah.
But, no, she was a local councillor, but she was saying, it shortens your journey by about 10 minutes.
That's not that much,
is it? No, but she was talking about, also, Little Simon came up with a very interesting fact that... Actually, I'm not going to give him the oxygen of publicity.
It's a good fact.
Shut up.
Do you know the fact?
Yes, it's that Manchester to Leeds, the train line, is actually shorter than the central line underground in London.
Is it?
Really?
Wow.
Oh, God. See?
The distance.
Yeah, the distance.
Yeah. She understands the word shorter and what it relates to. Simon, you don't have to explain the word distance.
You have to mansplain it to me.
Seriously, that's ridiculous mansplaining.
It's a measurement of distance.
Yeah. How about we, for the mansplaining, how about we have a woman kicking? Yeah?
I'll hold him down.
Sons? Yeah.
Yeah?
Hold him down, Gav. Yeah, go on, just for a laugh. Our culture of bullying exists. We're after a light bit of mansplaining. The assistant was given a shoeing on air.
You like that, huh?
By the newsreader.
You want a fresh one?
Yeah. Liven him up. Yeah, that's right. Wise up. Do you know why we don't like you? You got a smart mouth, boy. Quit smart mouthing us. Anyway, so HS2, we know it's a complete disaster.
All of this for 10 minutes.
Yeah, for 20 minutes. And also, people on the train, it's the delays at the start and the end, just on the track.
Yeah.
It's delays. As long as it's on time, we can all
be
on time.
It's workable.
Oh, if only I could get to Manchester 20 minutes earlier. If only this was 20 minutes shorter, I could get lots more work done. Have you seen how long the queue is for the taxis? Well, that's HS2 gone right there. That's where you want to put your money.
Just get a faster taxi
out of the place.
Yeah.
That's a good 45 minutes.
That's right.
By the time you found your Uber guy. By that, I don't mean like an Uber mensch, like a Superman.
No, just
like
loads of cabs.
Sort of Nietzschean model.
Yeah, you want pre-eye everywhere when you get there.
Right. So, people, I don't mind time on a train. In fact, if you get a seat, it's lovely.
It's quite nice.
Could you make them slower?
That's right, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I can't get there for 4 hours. There's nothing I can do about it.
Exactly.
People,
we want excuses, not results.
Thank you.
That's a reversal of, what's that, you know, Madagascar, isn't it?
We need the LS2 train.
Okay, get this. Yes. Yeah, the low speed. Yeah, exactly. But not one that stops lots. Just one that cruises really nice slowly.
Really
nice. And much bigger windows with a bubble on top.
Oh,
yes.
Or those double-decker ones like in the States.
Oh. Yes.
Anyway, shush. Because.
With a bar.
Get this. Here's the disaster. Do you know what? I'm out of time now.
Yeah. What else could we have? Aquariums.
I'm out of time.
Petting
I was going to talk about the
petting
biggest.
Petting zoo.
Okay, coming up.
Mm.
Oh, sorry. Should I just mention what it is? Okay, well, it says here, Hitachi, which has always been the worst name in hi-fi.
Plastic hi-fi, yeah.
And apparently they want to make nuclear power stations. I think, Christ, look at my old radio cassette. I wouldn't even trust that. You're going to give those guys nuclear power stations? Are you nuts? And then it says Hitachi talks to bring battery trains to Britain.
No.
Okay. What are we going to do? Flip them over and then change the batteries? The men lowering big batteries in.
Giant lead.
Or is it going to be a rechargeable
plug it
train?
In like, London.
Get the lead! It's like enormous. It doesn't match. They've changed it.
Oh,
they changed it with a new train.
They
haven't got the right adapter.
Yeah, right. It doesn't make any sense at all.
And also, once you have a battery train, it means you've got to schlep a battery.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if someone's very, very overweight, they have to eat more food to keep going, just to keep
that's
the body
right,
going.
That's right, you need a special train to transport
it. Yeah, right, right. So, but there's nothing wrong with...
A diesel train.
Okay, in my gaff, we consider plugging something into the mains much better than batteries.
Definitely,
why?
Yeah.
You don't run the batteries down.
That's right, yeah.
You plug it into the mains.
Mm.
Come on, we know the solution. I've already come up with it. We simply put those wind farms up and down Britain's train lines, and it's the wind that powers the trains.
There
there's no... That's it. It's all solved. No one really cares because train tracks all look revolting.
Can you imagine how many batteries you'd have to get into a train?
Oh, man.
It would just go, you should be feeding them in one after the other.
But massive.
Just again.
Huge
again.
Duracells.
Like those old radio cassette players.
Yeah. Take about 20
of them.
Yeah. Just keep going. It takes eight.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Okay, guys.
Yeah.
This, when I read this headline, I love it because it's just terrifying. Coastal homes must be sacrificed to the sea.
Oh, God.
No, I like the idea of non-human sacrifice.
I do too, and maybe we could televise this. This is some reality
all
TV
of us,
now.
Just a big group around a cliff with one of those wrecking balls, and they just shove a house over it, sort of, but while going, and then just bang, in it goes. We call to the sea god. It's always a bearded, windswept man.
Definitely some kind of druid.
A white beard is flowing there.
The sea shall claim the houses.
with a trident. It's a shame Christopher Lee wasn't alive. He'd be perfect.
Oh, man.
He's very good for all of those things. But anyway, thousands of coastal homes will have to be sacrificed.
It's just the way it is, isn't it?
And they're going to keep the pensioners in them. They said it's the only way.
With just four houses to go.
Yeah. With just 7,000 pensioners left to push in the sea in their houses.
With the season fast approaching.
DIY sacrifice. It's a hell of a makeover, isn't it, Gav?
You've been selected.
Yes.
That'd be horrible.
Yeah. No, you just get the envelope and it says, I'm afraid your house is going to be pushed into the
sea.
No, but apparently it's because global warming.
Yeah.
So they're having to sacrifice the homes to appease the sea gods.
It's true. The oceans are rising.
A government spokesman has said the houses need to be sacrificed to appease the old god of the sea.
Lord Neptune himself.
Poseidon.
Yeah. It's called the Poseidon Act.
Yes. Thousands of coastal homes will have to be sacrificed to rising seas. And entire communities in the UK may need to be relocated to higher ground. Christ, what times are we living?
Pitchforks will be supplied.
No, literally, the government has said, head for the hills with canned food.
Literally?
Yes. Head for, get tinned food, head for the hills.
Yeah.
Just leave. So let's have these, so we're going to have these seaside towns that are just ghettos, just falling apart, just a 70s, oh, that's what they are. Sorry. I forgot. It's been a while since I've been to the coast, but that's, I mean, let's face it. They already look like that anyway. They always look like that. That was the like rats from a sinking ship. People are thinking, well, I don't see the point of doing that. It's going to fall in the sea anyway.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. They're going to be sacrificed.
See, you'll get it anyway.
They're going to be sacrificed. What the solution is here is, you know, when people get to a certain age, they've got about 10 years left in them.
Yeah.
When we realise that these coastal houses, old people like the seaside.
Yep.
A lot of them are going to live 10, 15 years.
Ah, perfect lease time.
But perfect lease time for them.
It is.
Just get them all out, literally.
Yeah.
Just get them all out of cities to bring all those houses they're hogging and keeping away from young people who are too desperately struggling to get on the housing ladder.
Young families.
The family trying to get on the housing ladder, shove the old people out into those houses. They're going to go anyway. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
And I think in a way we're doing them a favour,
yes,
aren't
and,
we?
Yes, and also plus save on burial costs, because they'll be sacrificed to the sea. There we go. Sorry, should I be Chancellor? I think I should. Radio X. Every single day of the week, the Woodman furnishes us with a hero. If you know the routine, Monday has a raptor, Tuesday, regular hero.
Yeah.
Wednesday, he likes to get a bit inventive with the Victorian inventor. So far, we've had cocaine in hair tonic.
Yeah.
We've had a bath that
a
rocks.
A bath that rocks.
And we've had...
a machine that smokes cigarettes for you and fills your pub with smoke.
What have we got today? Let's find out in the Woodman's nutty but inventive little slot.
So today we have an invention from 1893 in America from your hero, Johnny, Professor George Moore.
Why is he my hero?
Because he invented the nuttiest thing I've ever heard of. So he's originally from Canada, but later he worked in America to promote his idea. And his idea was Steam Man. So basically, I'm going to show you a picture of it. You're really going to laugh. This is real. Right? So it was a 6-foot... sheet metal.
Now, don't come out of things, I'll just put a bit of cake in my mouth.
6 foot
sorry.
Iron sheet metal man, like a knight in armour, with a steam boiler in the torso.
Right.
A powered gasoline heating element below it.
Yeah.
In the hips. And then loads of gears and push rods down into the knees and ankles to move the legs.
Yeah.
And what it was a man powered by just a robot.
Like a steam powered
robot.
Oh, it's so steampunk, man.
The exhaust came out of a cigar in its mouth. And the steam chimney came out of a hole in the top of his helmet. So he had gasoline exhaust coming out of his mouth.
Wow, man.
The inventor, George Moore, what he did was he had him sort of tethered to a yoke and he could get this thing walking. But it would go in circles, so he sort of tethered it on a...
Well, that's good. It's better than a straight line. At least it comes back.
But for 8 years, this is a quote from an old account in the New York Times, for 8 years past, the same inventor, Professor Moore, has been engaged in the construction of a much larger steam man. And it is now said that within the present year, the machine will be ready to place on exhibition. The new figure is designed for use in the streets and will be powerful enough to draw a wagon containing as many as 10 men. So here's a picture of him, and it shows you
that's insane.
It shows you a cut-through diagram.
Wow.
So it's a real thing. He actually made one.
Steam man.
Obviously, it didn't work because it didn't carry on.
God, I've got to tell you, Gav, it looks really crude.
It looks terrifying.
Really terrifying, man.
So I was thinking, why steam man? If they want something to pull a carriage, why not steam horse?
It's got a picture of the steam man pulling a carriage. No one is something with wheels. The idea of trying to... Look at the little side. Look. Check him out. Look out. And he's just got loads of smoke coming out of his top hat. He's just like a really fat bloke.
Can you imagine seeing it clunking down the street straight towards
steam.
Someone else?
Man, this guy must have been it's one of the most insane things I've ever seen. Hats off to him, Gav.
Isn't it brilliant?
Oh, he's beautiful. I know what I'll do. I'll make a man of steam.
Do you know what they obviously were thinking as well, though?
What?
Military.
Yes. Of course.
So they were testing it for the high street, but actually,
of course,
it was
like
for
that
soldiers.
German the other day trying to deliver mail with a rocket
That's
from Germany,
right, yeah.
Just before the war.
That's right.
He's
yeah.
like, could the rocket reach as far
could
as
the
Britain?
Trajectory work?
No, yeah. he tried to. The German guy tried to deliver a letter to London from the continent via a rocket.
It's suspicious.
No, about 1938. Yeah, I wonder what they were just checking the range. Yeah. No, it's very good. They might be able to deliver mail. I suppose that the Luftwaffe were doing, just postmen.
Exactly. Right, so whatever else he invented, we don't care. He needs to be saluted just for Steam Man.
What a guy. What a cat.
Professor George Moore.
Professor George Moore, inventor of the Steam Man. But he was working on something larger. He's a madman. Radio X. Johnny Vaughan. Every Saturday between 11 and 1 on the Kickabout, Gavin and I do a thing called Mexican Handbags. Observations of everyday life. You take the old, you simply add a place and an action and or an object. On this show, though, a bit easier. We make the handbag and you define it. Although, it's been really easy at the moment on our Saturday show, because we switched over to some more sporting ones on the Kickabout, where you just had to say literally the old Bolton Wanderer, the old Sheffield Wednesday.
The Blackburn Rover, yeah.
The old Blackburn Rover. The old Sheffield Wednesday was a genius one. That's just those half days off that shops
things are shut.
When shops just randomly shut. Back in 5 minutes. That's the old Sheffield Wednesday. So that's been fun. 8393. Don't do that now. I'm just saying that's really made it easier for you for our Saturday show, The Kickabout, between 11 and 1 every week on Radio X. Meantime, let's pull the lever and spin the reels of our Mexican bandits. Today's Mexican bandit is the old Viennese. The old Viennese.
Viennese.
Yeah, Viennese. Sandwich. The old Viennese,
sandwich.
I think the old Viennese sandwich is anything you get together as like that it just involves bread from remnants in a really in like a real Sunday night fridge.
Yep.
And it's just it can involve elements of particularly in a student flat or a pothead flat, but it's like it involves elements of mayonnaise, pepper, marmalade.
Yep.
But whatever it is, people think, really? Can you put that together? You go, you should try it, mate. Seriously, I love those. Gav, what's yours?
I think the old Viennese sandwich is when you're on the underground and you're sat between two people with violin cases.
Yeah. Very nice. Have you ever had that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Happens all the time.
Okay, go on, Shunt.
I think the old Viennese sandwich is when you roll yourself in your duvet.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Under, over, inside, all nice, the way around
nice,
the duvet.
Nice, nice, nice. I think the old Viennese sandwich, building on what Gav's talking about, it's when you look around anywhere on the tube and they are all, you just look at all those single seats around and you are wedged between people you just don't, it's no place to go. It's just, it's an unthinkable combination. It's nothing you want to be between. Ginge in Alverston. Hello, Ginge. Absolute beauty here. His old Viennese sandwich is fitting an illegal amount of humans in the back of your car. I like it when you know you're over. And you know actually the Uber guy might not even like three in the back, so you just charge it.
Yeah.
You just have two of you on the road, and then suddenly just more appear.
And you're in.
But thanks very much for that. Gav.
Nikki says the old Viennese sandwich is when you're stuck on the M25 between two lorries and you have a Kia Picanto.
Yeah, that's right. When you make that extra lane, you think, do you know what? There's actually a lane here I can use. Dr. Sunder Templeton.
Badger in Ipswich says...
Hello, Badger.
The old Viennese sandwich is that gap in the crowd you have to squeeze through en route to the loo.
Oh, man, yeah. I'm going to have to do the old Viennese sandwich. I'll tell you where you really get that. Football.
Yes.
Okay, ready for this. Yeah. This is a beauty. This is Carl in Flitwick. The old great name, isn't it, Flitwick? It almost sounds fictitious.
It does, yeah.
Doesn't it?
The Flitwick Chronicles.
But now it's time to join once again Timmy and Tommy.
In Flitwick.
In Flitwick. The people of Flitwick Village. The old Veerle sandwich, according to Carl, is the bit of beer mat or paper you wedge under a wonky bar table. Thank you very much indeed. That's the old Viennese sandwich. Gav.
Number ending 969. The Viennese sandwich is getting the middle seat on a Ryanair flight between two porky lads on a stag do.
We prefer portly boys. Which is always... Also, if you are in a mob, if you're mob-handed on a stag night, it's really good right at the start. You'll notice the portly boys naturally go together. We've always called them...
Stay together.
I don't know what happens. It's like if you shook the bag of stags... The heavy ones would
go
fall
down to
together,
the bottom,
just all fall together.
Like the big marbles.
And they're always standing there, always sort of with mouthful. And always call them. What are the portly boys up to? The portly. It's just inoffensive.
It may,
Dr. Sunder Templeton.
Ben says the old Viennese sandwich is when in a row of three urinals, the ones at each end are taken, therefore forcing you to use the middle one.
Nice, nice. The politics of the urinal is quite extraordinary. When you're going alone, you're going second from the end.
You start.
Sometimes you're forced to then go next to someone and it's quite unusual.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, here's one for you. The old Viennese sandwich is when you're walking through. This is beautiful because...
It's a great one.
Well, it brings to mind the days of Vienna.
Yeah.
You know, the most educated city on earth for a while. Mm. And definitely the place where culture has become highest in the history of man. The old Viennese sandwich is when you're walking through a tube station, but you can hear two separate classically trained buskers at the same time. Just
The Viennese sandwich. Left with
it's not a Viennese waltz.
No.
It's the old Viennese sandwich. Go on, Dr. Sunder Templeton. Sorry, Gav. I really upset the order. What?
You really threw me there.
Really no, confused. I was suddenly caught in a Viennese sandwich.
I love this one.
I've got two presenters, two radio presenters, looking at me with equal eagerness, and I just didn't know which way to go, and the pressure.
We can't go anti-clockwise.
No, but you're loose.
We've got Viennese, to stick with the system,
it doesn't matter. I was caught in a Viennese sandwich, Gav.
Danny from Hoddesdon says, the Viennese sandwich is when you're friends with a couple who have a massive argument, and then each describe their side to you in order to win you over.
Oh, let's clap that in.
It's a great one.
Do you know something? Someone once said to me, basically, you just never, if you're telling your side of the problem to a friend, it's just not worth it. Don't ever share problems with friends. You're saying, I mean, I can't believe they can't see my side.
Yeah.
There's no point. You've only just told them your argument.
That's right. Or your one side.
It's just like having a court case made up of just the prosecution.
Just it.
And no one for the defence at all. It's just, there is no point. Absolutely no point. Don't send Templeton.
My absolute favourite from Cam in Portsmouth. The old Viennese sandwich is putting two biscuits together to dunk into a hot beverage so they maintain integrity from the cup to your mouth.
Can I just say, Cam in Portsmouth, I just love the use of integrity of biscuits. One is Garsha in Caterham. The old Viennese sandwich is the friend trying to stop a fist fight between two other friends on a European stag do. Just beautiful. It does happen. Radio X. Here's the dealio, right?
Yeah.
Daniel Craig. Okay, now we know already, in the novels, which I know a lot of you haven't read the James Bond books, they are brilliant, incidentally. They really are. And it's such a different, cooler Bond than you could possibly imagine. He's quite, you know, remember, he's been through a world war. He's a heavy smoker. He really describes how much he loves the booze.
Yeah.
Gets his fags properly made in Germany Street, a mixture of Turkish and Virginia tobacco.
He's got tailored seats.
Yeah, they're plain as well. They've got no markings on them.
Right.
And he drives a Bentley in it, Bentley Sports.
Yeah.
So, how does it, and he plays generally Chemin de Fer, or he plays background. Shummy. Yeah. Ian Fleming was so enamoured, if you will, of Sean Connery, in the books, he gave Bond a Scottish ancestry. Because he liked...
Oh, he added to the...
Yes, because obviously they overlap slightly. But Daniel Craig, as well as being... I mean, it's become not only a place where Britain is made to look always like the borrowers off America in a really cheap way, like, so he can't even continue playing a game of Texas Hold'em without borrowing money off the Americans. He's just like a cadge.
Yeah.
So he can't win at Texas Hold'em. He started off, he's playing Baccarat.
Yeah.
You know, a game where they don't even put numbers on the cards.
Yeah.
You can watch it for hours and think, I don't get it. What do you mean you're going to make 15? I don't understand.
Don't get it, yeah.
Or shummy.
Yeah.
And he used to drive an Aston Martin in the films. Was he end up in? Well, in one incident, a Ford Focus on a way to play Texas Hold'em. Yeah? Let's not
it's
forget.
It's not the same thing
no,
as
let's
Fleming,
not forget.
Right.
Everyone goes on about how great these films are. They're not. They just shame Britain and make us look shoddy compared to someone like Jason Bourne who'd kick his ass. Another JB.
Yeah.
As would Jack Bauer. Another JB.
Mm.
And you look at something like Casino Royale and you think, here's a guy. He loses at cards, borrows money off the Americans, and in the end his girlfriend drowns in a house.
A whole house sinking in the sea in Venice.
I've been through this before. Then he can't save Bolivia or whatever from drought.
That's right.
Then he can't protect the head of MI6. He thinks, well, I'll disguise it. I'll just drive up to Scotland in my DB5. That's inconspicuous.
And then take her to some open ground with a torch.
In his own gaff, in a car presumably registered to him.
To be fair, she has to take a bit of responsibility for that torch.
Yeah, no, but he's still taking her home.
Yeah.
We know Bond's got her. Right, well, let's known addresses. Oh, home.
Yeah.
There we go. Let's go up there then.
Let's try that.
Yeah, pretty easy. Right, what should you do now? Oh, there's the head of MI6 with a torch. They just make us like idiots. I mean, absolute idiots. They really do.
Yeah.
And it just gets worse with each one. Anyway, he doesn't want to say the name's Bond, James Bond. Hmm. All my life, every man has wanted to say the name's Bond.
Yeah.
James Bond.
Yeah, of course.
Of course you have. Not
it's
him.
A fantasy,
oh, no, yeah. Not Craig. Not Craig Daniels.
Danny Craig.
Paul's boy. he is Paul Daniels' son, isn't he? He just switched the name.
So,
his real name is Craig Daniels. He's Paul Daniels' son. Honestly, he is. That's why he looks like the lovely Devin McGee.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's now he's turned up to a... he knows everywhere he goes he's known as Bond. But to prove he's not, he's turned up in a suit. And like...
With trainers on.
No, they're not even trainers, Cap.
No.
They're the most hideous sort of...
You're so outraged.
Designer Converse.
Yeah, with scribblings on them.
Yeah, why don't you go for a quick game of, I don't know, play on it. But at this rate, Bond's going to end up on a fruit machine.
playing Snap.
Yeah, yeah, but before he gets into an electric car. Seriously. He's going on a fruit machine, he's going to get into one of those cars.
He's going to start vaping.
But yeah, he'll go outside for a vape while his whiz is being brought round. You know those little cars? Like a shoe.
I'm sure they're very expensive shoes.
Well, I'm sure they are. But ridiculous round glasses. And I just think the time has come. I never want to see Bond get it in a film.
Yeah.
But I've got to tell you, in that one, you know, in the last one, where she was shooting from the, you know, then Bond's on top of the train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she gets a shot in, right?
Yeah.
And she's going, oh no, I've hit Bond, yeah?
Yeah.
You're thinking, right, the way's clear, get the other guy. But no. She just brings the rifle and goes, oh God, I've hit Bond.
Yeah, like assassins
do. Well, the villain's just now standing up there unprotected going, bye! Thinking, there's the kill shot, love. But
it's
again,
at the beginning of the film,
again,
though, isn't it?
She's rubbish. She's rubbish. Because they all are in it. They all are. It's been made by the Americans to make us look, again, it's like they call the British military the borrowers. It's been made to look second rate. And that has been enhanced by this fool wearing these shoes. And as I say, I don't know what he's going to do. He's probably going to end up playing bingo online the way Bond's going.
You imagine.
You're right.
No, she's going to end up with, he's going to end up playing bingo online and then Barbara Windsor will laugh in the background. And that'll be the good bit. That'll be the classy bit. Radio X. Here's the first bit of woodland creature news I've got for you. Headline here, it says, football nets can suffocate hedgehogs. Well, use a ball.
Oh.
There's no point.
Very funny.
No, right? Tough to dribble a hedgehog anyway. Yeah. It hurts your toes.
Actually, Gav.
It's spiky.
Yeah, I can understand that on, you know, like beach hedgehog ball.
And headers, not a good idea.
Yeah, not a good idea. I can understand that, like, you're on the beach when you've got bare feet. But headers are right out there with hedgehogs.
Definitely.
Write that down.
Never head a hedgehog.
No, even if it's a beautiful cross.
That's right, yeah. It's not going to make it.
If it's been laid off beautifully, just be. But do you know something? I remember the first time I ever saw a hedgehog, and it was just crawling across our lawn to the manor.
To the west.
And I said, "Mummy," and I just saw this, and I was just thinking, "What's that?"
Yeah.
I just, because I, you know, I was only a little kid.
Yeah.
It was in Totteridge in North London. I was looking at this thing, and it looked like a little pile of sort of leaves and things, because it gets leaves on its spikes. And
right.
And I just saw it there. And I went down the garden, it was there. And it was a hedgehog. And I was thinking, what's that?
Yeah.
And I said, it's a little hedgehog. I was like, wow. I'd never seen like a living creature in the wild.
I didn't know.
I'd never seen it. I'd seen squirrels and stuff every day. But I'd never seen like a creature. It had a real effect on me.
Did it?
Yeah, the first time I've seen, not like, you know, you see birds and, you know,
yeah.
And, you know, around where we live, there are wolves.
Sure.
And, you know, sure. And,
stag.
No, I've never seen something that's a bit of a bit enigmatic.
Yeah. A bit Disney.
It is, yeah. But yeah. It's, wow, they really are spiky and stuff. Yeah. And it's not like a regular creature, is it? It's got like...
No, they've got their own thing going
on. It's what I call a bit GTI, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's just got something a bit...
Yeah, it's a bit, they're different. Vivian Westwood,
aren't
they?
Well, it's got spikes for protection. It's genius. I mean, yeah. No, but you think of the selection that went about. It started off with like whatever it was, had slightly harder... hair,
yeah,
and the harder the hair, the more they survive. Today, in the end, it goes into spikes. Yeah. If you believe all that evolution stuff, anyway. And there it was; it was curled up, and so we gave it a bowl of milk, with bread,
yeah,
like you meant to do. And then it's just
no,
you're not meant to. And it started it started really choking and going.
Like, oh,
going
no. Stop doing that face.
Stop it. Stop
no, but you did it. Puck it up.
Does pathetic face.
No, have you never seen my hedgehog choking impression?
Well, now I haven't.
It was going to...
Frankly, I'm disturbed.
Like, let's make this little noise, yeah?
Just £3 a week could save young Billy.
So it was just choking like that. So my dad got his... He had
He
had like a 410 shotgun.
Oh, stop making guns.
I'm joking. That's I'm joking. It's not even funny. He obviously's not going to do that. And put it in like a clay pigeon thing.
No.
So what he did was he gave it... My dad just rolled it onto its front, onto its back.
Yeah.
He just gave it a little push. A little CPR.
Yep.
Really?
Is that that's not the kiss of life, is it? That's the other way you press it. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I was going to say he didn't give it.
Well,
mouth
he did
to
the
mouth.
Mouth.
So my dad gave the hedgehog mouth to mouth.
Got the wrong end.
And he got the wrong end. It was terrible. He looked up. Face was disgusting. Hell of a mess. Radio X. Johnny.
Bourne.
I don't know if you listened to Toby Tarrant's breakfast show this morning. It's excellent. Lovely way to start the day while Moyles is off. And but in the show, it was... Well, Dan O'Connell's been exposed. He's been fingered.
Yeah.
We know he stole some Tam Tams. Moyles, you kicked off about that, but he's now stolen some pies. Apparently.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
From Hart.
Wow.
Which is a bit of a way to go for a pie.
I've got to tell you, though, stealing off Hart is low. I mean, those guys are harmless, right?
Yeah.
They're out there doing it for everyone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey, keep some heart in your heart.
They've got no side hustle.
No,
they haven't got any side. Do you know what, Gav? You're absolutely right.
They just don't have... It's like a
classic downstairs. They're just good guys.
That's right.
They're just good guys.
People.
They're not like those... literally the gangsters who run smooth.
Oh, my God.
Don't talk to me about that.
I mean, it's a gangster culture down there. I'm ready for that.
Cold culture down
there. It's unbelievable, isn't it? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
You hear the bass, first of all, as you approach it.
The smooth life chooses you, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah. Smooth life. Exactly right. They got. I've seen some of that tattooed across their chest.
Oh, my God.
Smooth life. Exactly right.
Yeah, there's different factions in the office
there,
down
listening
there.
Listening to the best of Bob Marley.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
No, don't even... Anyway, but Hart, it's a sort of given in the building. You don't steal from Hart.
No.
Capital extra, I'll nick what I can. They're right next door. Yeah. They're just there. I'll nick what I can. Sure. And that's the way it goes.
Sure. But it's fine. It's kind of a give and take culture there.
It is. Yeah.
First man to the fridge culture,
isn't it?
But let's face it, no one wants to have it with Radio X. We're like a one-off. We've got no diffusion lines. And it's the tasty station, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Put this way, Radio X, if you look at the team, there's a lot of scrappers.
There are, yeah.
There's a lot of scrappers. People don't mind having it on the cobbles.
No, there's some Czech shirts
seriously,
in our office.
Draw a line on the ground. Literally, step across the line, you've had it. That's the way it's always been at Radio. It's always been quite a violent station.
Sure.
Not violent, just...
Well,
handy.
Ready. At least ready for it.
Sorry, let me rephrase
handy.
That. Just a little bit spiteful.
Yeah. Spiteful, yeah.
Well, no, someone downstairs, one of the security, says we let Radio X just get on with it because they're a little bit naughty.
Yeah. Well, the phrase he uses, they can handle themselves.
Yeah, they can watch yourself around there, yeah? A little bit naughty. A little bit naughty. I don't want to get in some kind of turf war.
Yeah.
But you see, if you're in that lift, when it's... What floor are we on to? Sorry, I get a bit muddled.
Three.
No, now, but I'm talking about the office.
Oh,
the office.
Yeah, the office.
But when that lift gets to two, you can see there's a bit
there's an atmosphere change.
They separate us in the office where we are, Global.
Yeah.
That's the name of the company. They separate us from Classic with like a pop little like gossip thing, like a pop buzz thing. They monitor just as a breaker.
And a metal screen.
And we're very much left on our own.
That's true.
Aren't we?
Yeah.
It's like an outlaw sort of thing.
It kind of is. Yeah, we're left to our own. Yeah, we've got our own thing going.
Like the Hells Angels, the 1% that don't fit in.
That's right. You just leave us alone.
We're just left alone to our own thing, have our own rules. And to get it, if you look at Joe, Vinny, a few of the others who work there, you prospect for it. You have a hanging around period.
You do. You have to make friends with
certain
factions.
You have to make friends with certain people, and then you fall in with a certain bit of talent, and then you get the job.
That's it. That's how it works.
But, Dan... It's tearing the company apart because he's allegedly nicked a pie off Hart.
Not just a pie, four pies.
That's right, yeah. Piegate.
You're kidding me. Was it four pies?
Yeah. I mean, we don't know for sure it was, Danny. I mean, we could maybe finger Gordon. We don't know if it's Gordon.
It's not Gordon. He's as rich as Croesus. He's got all of his own business. Yeah. And that's another thing about a lot of people at Radio X. They've all got their own private little businesses and things going on.
That's true. Side hustles.
They're all really sponsored up. I mean, Gordon's got so many sponsors. When he walks in, his clothing, he looks like a Formula One driver. Hamilton.
Yeah. He's probably got his own pie company.
If I probably would have. It's in Scotland somewhere.
That's right, yeah. Smart's Pies.
And he'll sell it. Yes.
Yeah.
McSmarty.
Yeah.
McPie. And we wouldn't surprise me if it's McDonald's, frankly.
That's exactly
Gordon,
right.
The way he goes.
That's Scottish restaurant.
But anyway, the point is, Dan, we know he took the Australian-based snack food Tam Tams.
Mm. Yeah, we know that. Yeah.
That's down. That's on record. Sorry, Tim Tams.
Tim Tams, yeah.
Sorry.
I mean...
Right. It's Tim Tams.
Let's have it right, says Big Size Eyes.
Look at this.
Going to do this, do it properly.
Because he's part of that fringe.
Yeah.
That loses it.
He runs the yard.
You got to watch
him. He runs one of the yards.
You got to watch him around the coat room. You know what I mean? Mm. Sorry, that goes back to an office party a couple of years ago when all was not good in the cloakrooms. Yeah. And unfortunately, Big Size suddenly, it was off. It kicked off.
Yeah.
anyway, the point is, some pies have gone missing, and everyone was... Do you know what I'll do? I'll play you Toby Tarrant from this morning's show.
This is his account.
This is where Toby's inquiry's at.
So, at the moment, the latest is the pies have been returned. Dan O'Connell has been fingered.
Yeah.
Several other people in the building have in many ways fingered themselves as well, wow, and are caught in the crossfire of this. We will not let this lie.
No.
I can tell you now.
We won't rest.
We won't rest. We won't rest. I'm going to be like one of those detectives in a TV show who drinks too much to try and forget what I've seen this week.
That's right.
Dan, I'm sorry I got you over here saying you had to do a voiceover for the charity and got you back away from your flat.
Unbelievable.
Sorry, mate. I'm really sorry. Do a live time check just to show I'm not lying. That I ain't lying.
It's 6:10. You're listening to Radio X.
And then 12, 13, 14. Okay, that's it. Unless our timings are really
just amazing.
Good.
Yeah.
If we have pre-recorded it, admire our slickness. Anyway, Dan, what's the deal here, Dan? Because Toby's going for your heart. I know he wants you to... He said you fingered yourself.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm 37 years old. I've never done that.
Okay. No, but you said...
Even
you,
when I've been accused.
Okay, but you said you've put yourself right in the frame for this. You've almost...
Well, he's saying that based on form of an alleged incident that didn't even happen.
What, you never took the Tim Tams?
No, I mean, the original case was, what, 3 or 4 years ago?
I don't know, but you are seen as the Radio X oyster. Seriously. You're like the thief. You're like,
you know
the,
what,
you're seriously.
Right? I'll be honest with you. This is the truth, right? The only
Dan,
thing.
Dan, do you know something? He's looking at me like he's lying.
Only thing.
Oh my God. I never
have.
Actually,
we pressed record on the tape machine?
No, can I just say, yeah, recording takes place. I am D.I. Vaughan in the presence of D.C. Woodman.
Yeah. So you're a bright guy, Dan. You know, how did you get away with this?
Yeah.
No comment.
Okay. Can I just say, I mean.
You're free to go at any time.
Do you know what, Dan? The thing is, I'll go for the sympathetic bite.
Yeah, go for it.
The thing is, Dan, I fully understand it. We get so hungry in this building, and you're working, and there's so few opportunities. You know, it's a wonder everyone's not doing it, Dan.
Yeah.
All I'll say is, I've heard.
Oh my God, he actually looks like he's lying. Dan, never get nicked, because you're a shocker, man. Even if you're telling the truth, it's like me. I always look suspicious through cuffs. Mind you, not without good reason.
I'll call you straight away if I ever get nicked.
Okay, do it.
But I want to say this, okay? I believe
we
have a resolution.
Do
we? What?
Yeah. Somebody has tracked down security footage.
No.
However,
right. Really?
Because it's after 6 o'clock,
yeah,
they've gone home.
No.
So tomorrow morning,
there's a big show.
We'll find out.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So.
Really?
No, I'm not.
No.
I'm not on film stealing pies from a fridge.
Who stole all the pies? Who stole all the pies? Dan O'Connell. Dan O'Connell. He stole all the pies. Oi. So, Dan, wait, are you honestly saying that tomorrow they will definitely, they're going to bring it?
Apparently so.
Will Toby get the benefit of that?
He's going to know about this tomorrow morning. So if you're listening to him tomorrow morning, you're going to find out who stole the pies.
What sort of pies were they?
I don't even know.
Savory, I believe.
Oh, you tried to trick me.
By the way, best of luck.
Boom.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
What could possibly go wrong? Okay, get this, yeah? They are organising at Longleat.
Yes, I do.
It's a safari park.
It is, yeah.
Well, what they've done is they're organising it as the place where there's a safari themed big balloon gathering.
Okay.
So all these people who it's only a picture of it. There's not really much information, but there's a lovely picture in the Times today of there was a safari theme for the trial run of Europe's largest annual hot air balloon event,
right,
which will take place over Longleat this weekend.
To give you that safari feeling.
What could possibly go wrong?
You don't want to come down in that area.
Right.
No, you just don't.
What a great lottery show format that would be. 49 balloons go up, all numbered. 7 pens, all filled. And let's not start it at Longleat.
Yeah.
Fill them with MPs.
Yes.
The baskets. And then just, they've got to land at Longleat in the safe area.
And they've got to make their way.
You really want to go for where the meerkats are, won't you?
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah, you definitely. Well, you could really come unstuck at the tigers. Oh,
yes.
Yeah. But if we've got 7, then and each balloon's numb and they go in.
I mean, hippos is the ones you want to avoid.
Gav, it's just...
They are savage.
In a way, I like it because there's still danger. When you take off in a balloon, lots can go wrong. I've been in one.
Yeah, and you can't steer them.
No, they just go with the wind.
It's got to go up or down.
Have you been in a balloon?
I've never been
in one. Have
you
been in a hot air balloon? Have you been... That's Big Si shaking his head. That's the sound of Big Si shaking
his head. Little Si.
Now listen to Big Si shake his head.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Little Si, have you been in a hot air... Okay. Teej.
You're the only one.
I have. Yeah.
Tell us about the balloon job.
Authority.
Well, I can tell you now, I did it at an agricultural show when I was a local journo.
Right.
And
what?
when I was a local journalist.
What was the newspaper?
What kind of agricultural show?
It's in Peterborough.
Okay.
Right. The East of England show.
Right.
So it's the East of England showground. It's a big show. They had a balloon at the end, and I managed to get in there because I used to write for one of the Peterborough papers.
Right.
And as I, this is after I left the regiment.
Yeah.
But what was great is I had loads of people waving us off, all at the crowd. So we went off in the air. And it is unbelievably beautiful.
Yeah.
It's incredible because you think it's going to be really windy up there. It's not.
It's silent.
You've got the same speed as the wind. So there's no wind.
There's no, yeah, you don't hear the wind against anything.
And not only that, it doesn't get cold. You've got a nice fire. So it's roasty toasty up there. And you're just moving silently with the wind.
Silent,
and it's just so beautiful. We had loads of wine up there, so I was really singing because I didn't have too much money back then.
Right.
And
you took advantage.
So any opportunity for a free drink.
Yeah.
And it was just one of the most beautiful experiences. But the guy couldn't tell us where we're going to land.
He had no idea. And he was the pilot.
He's the pilot. He says, well, you don't know. You know, that's why they've got a support vehicle. And they're really looking down. And it's like really
how much wine had the pilot had?
Oh, the pilot was leather. They was crazily.
Well, he's not going to steer, is he?
No, think of the sort of people, the sort of amateurs that get involved in ballooning. Oh, come on, you can already see his chubby fingers, can't you?
You can.
Oh, no, don't worry about that.
You can hear the pub chat afterwards.
He's really for that, don't worry about that generation. I mean, I don't think there's any drink drive laws up there.
No.
Not, a soft landing?
No! He says, hold on! For Christ's sake, hold on!
Hold fast!
He's like, oh my God, I really thought this was organised. You know, all the time I was there, I was thinking, because I thought, we took off really nice and slowly. I thought, he says, no, it's nothing like that when we land.
It's a crash, basically.
He says, well, of course it's not, because we're moving. He says, have you any idea? The wind's gone up now. We're moving about 40 miles an hour up here. I'm thinking, oh Christ! I said, what's going to slow us down? And he just pointed at the ground. I was thinking, oh no!
There's no air brakes.
And he goes, hopefully not a tree or a hedge. I was thinking, oh, God, so you have to look for somewhere. But the point about it is if we'd been flying into Longleat...
Yeah.
The whole nother dimension. No,
that's a whole new area of adrenaline sports, isn't it?
The giraffes looking at you like, what are you, nuts?
No, but the whole thing of like, you know, it's like, forget base jumping and things. I mean, literally, it's like base jumping into a lion enclosure.
It is, yeah.
That's how I'd run
things. You're like the goat that gets lowered in Jurassic Park. You really are.
Radio X. Right, I got stuck behind a man in a shop. And this guy was out of nowhere.
Yeah. He only had two items.
He was in an upmarket supermarket. By that, I mean rip-off.
A rip-off deli.
Yeah, well, I just happened to stop and foolishly started buying stuff there. And then I got to that point at the counter. I thought, I can't go back. I'm just going to look so tight.
There's even only though a few this jar of olives is $17.99.
It was a few items, but they were overpriced. So I could afford it, but I was just like, Christ, thank God I didn't do the big shot. I got over the handbasket. Anyway, I didn't want to buy the bag.
No.
So do you want a bag? So I was going, Christ, I'm just going to be probably Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
Anyway, and his wife said, so there's this guy there, he's just buying two chilies. Mm. And this queue built up because they had to be tapped in, this big code number.
Right.
Like the chilies, they've actually had a name, each one of them. He's like, that's Des. And that way it wouldn't be that, actually. It's probably like Henry Longthorn. Anyway, and his wife said, queues just form around him wherever he goes. And the point is, it's like his nega gift.
It's a negative
superpower, but nonetheless, they're superpowers. I have a nega gift. I can destroy any sort of packaging just by simply trying to open it. I mean, a really bad case is I went to buy some kippers, and which I'm going to have tonight for dinner. There we go. Kippers. And
you need an angle grinder to open those things.
No. These were free. Okay. These weren't in anything, but I know how much they smell, so I've got them ready to package. But I know already that I'm not. I know from this particular packaging system. I'll tell you what. I'll give you an account of it tomorrow.
Okay, I want to hear.
Because the last time it happened with these kippers with the same thing, literally. And then I just sort of think, you know, so I tell you what, I'm just going to use the scissors. And then I go in with the scissors, and then that goes in the food, and then there's a leakage, and suddenly it's like, whoa, there's oil on the floor. Anyway, last time I did it, we'll see how it goes tonight.
Yeah.
But last time it was an absolute disaster. Anyway, we decided to assemble. My dad has a nega gift. He can complicate any travel arrangements. Incidentally, that thing, because he then had to get back over to Birmingham Airport because he's flying to Hanover the next day for an engineering thing, we've now had to cancel the whole thing.
You've had to?
Yeah, because
it's
simply,
too complex.
Simply me saying, Dad, get the train to King's Cross. I'll pick you up there.
I'll drive you down.
And I'll just drive down there. Oh, I don't know about that, John. It's Saturday morning. I was driving all... I said, we were going to have to do that anyway. Sorry. John, can you call me on the landline? I can't really hear you on this. Anyway, The point is, we've now, it's called being called off just because the travel arrangements are so complicated. Wow. Me picking up a station, driving in there, and driving back to the station at the end of the day. Wow. I think it's because it didn't involve enough cars.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, we've decided to assemble our own band of misfits and unfortunates who all possess
mega gifts.
Who did that?
Little Si.
That's not your voice.
Yes, it is. Okay, it's him slowing down.
I've been listening to Tarrant and Moyles recently because I've been getting up early in the morning, so I do some writing. And I've got to tell you, they've got this American guy who does it, and it sounds really slick. Mm. We get Little Si just doing a poncy voice. Okay, here we go.
I thought that was cool.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's amateur. And it's a. What is this music?
It's not good.
It's not good. It turns out you are a negatively gifted bunch. Stuart's girlfriend always finds a bad smell wherever she is.
Yeah, that's her power.
Jen never receives her correct order at a restaurant. every horse Mike's wife chooses in the Grand National actually dies.
Yeah, that's not good.
Here are three more. Gav, what's Catherine in Darlington aguam with?
Okay, Catherine says, my nega gift is the ability to summon low-flying aircraft whenever I sunbathe.
Nice.
Regardless of how remote the area may be. This includes a Red Arrow's flypast the last time I went topless in the garden.
Oh, that's funny. I know those lads. I tell you something.
Yeah,
easy,
don't miss a trick.
Easy.
Yeah,
I bet
yeah.
they did that Top Gun take. Yeah, right. Yeah. Go on. Sunta, what you got from Emma?
Emma says, my nega gift is always picking the cubicle with no toilet roll, but only realising post-wee.
Thank you very much indeed, Emma. This is from Rich in Kent. Thank you very much for this, Rich. He says, my nega gift is that no matter how hard I try, I always cut wrapping paper too small for the present.
Wow. And then can't pull it tight enough to get
so
over.
No, because then you reorient it. So you sort of think, maybe go the other way. Okay, thank you very much indeed. That can't happen to me because I used to rap professionally. So I'm pretty good at that. Don't boast it. It's one of the
professional rapper.
But weird, I'm bad at unwrapping.
Oh. Yeah, true. Yeah, that is weird.
There we go. Send us your nega gifts. Text 83936 or tweet at Radio X.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
So I've said that I hate this above all others. Creature. We've had loads of guesses.
People are saying cats, squirrels.
No.
Daddy long legs.
Squittles.
Flying ants.
Squittles. It's not squirrels. It's not the flying ants. I don't like, but they're only one night a year deal.
Right.
I've got a guess.
Go on.
Is it moths?
You're absolutely right, Simpson.
Oh yes, of course.
As you know, they took
enemy of the cashmere
in my walk-in wardrobe.
Sure.
God, if you saw it.
Your dressing wing.
I used to have when I still had the large house. what I called the wall of cashmere. It really was. I love my schmear. What can I say? Everyone's got to have a. Everyone's got to have something they're obsessed with, an addiction. Mine was cashmere.
Well, you can wear it next to the skin.
You really can, and I love it, and I do. Mm. I do.
You've got a cashmere onesie, haven't you?
I have got a cashmere onesie, yeah. I don't want to talk about that. That's very. But can I just say to you, it was a prototype, yeah? It's still at a very experimental stage.
Yeah, it's weird.
The design can be a bit revealing.
I don't know how you go to the toilet.
Well, the buttons are a bit too far apart down in the crotch region, and it can be a bit obscene.
It's weird.
Particularly when I'm signing for things from Amazon.
Sure.
Sorry about that, Eddie. Are you ready for this? Mm. British homes have been plagued by an influx of moths this summer as the warm weather and changing consumer tastes create ideal breeding conditions. No, basically they just love anything that you like. That's the thing about wasps.
They
can detect things that you just really like. You look at them, they're so discerning. They can go through a load of inferior cashmere just to get to the one that really is.
Oh, they know their fibers.
Oh, they can tell their Uniqlo apart from their Laura Piana. Let me tell you, they really can.
They could
they'll
be a
shun.
They could be a buyer for Liberties.
They really could.
They could, yeah.
No, I just think, just use them to test cashmere, is the way.
I'd love to have a crack at the moth.
I've got a mohair, my summer dinner suit I wear just for summer dinner, because it's lightweight. It's mohair as opposed to a barathea, which is a very nice light wool, which you should generally, because you're not, we don't really have cold anymore in that way.
Yeah.
So if you have a dinner suit, go for one of the two. You know, they're both light. You don't need heavy wools.
No.
My mohair one, and it's beautiful. It's midnight. It's midnight, the colour midnight.
Right.
Which is always what you should get your dinner suit. Do you know why?
Why?
Prince Charles has midnight.
Does he?
And if you notice in photographs, Prince Charles's suit always looks black. Everyone else looks
blacker than black.
Because black goes grey with a flash.
Right.
Midnight goes black.
Yeah, you get that blue so black you start, Batman.
Yeah. So like velvet always looks black. Doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
But it's just got that. So your chap always goes for a midnight tux because that will always look black in photographs.
Sneaky.
Which is where I live, Gav, as you know.
Right.
In photographs, at black tie events.
That's what I am.
Every night, really.
If I'm really honest with you, I don't need any other suits.
Sure.
That's right, yeah. Well, you're in them the whole
time.
Well,
no, actually, no, I like, because they like, Simon will tell you, they prefer a blazer at the tennis club. Mm. Anyway.
And you do look good in a safari suit.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sunta. She noticed. Also, an estimated 3.5 million households have been blighted by the pests, particularly in London and South East England. Millions of items of clothing are likely to be destroyed. The moths, they've just put one hole in the back of the calf on my mohair dinner suit. Kilgar, French and Stanbury. And I'm so...
They must
that?
All
it's
be
one
livid.
Of my most treasured. I bought that as a real treat when I was doing loads and loads and loads of like awards and when I was quite famous.
Yeah.
And so I thought, do you know what? I'm going to get a really nice dinner suit. I'm going to really splash out on something beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's my favourite tailor's. And
it's on the back of the calf, though. You can't see it, so...
Have you seen how tight things are around my calves?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Who made it again? Kilgar,
French, Stanbury.
Surely one of the three of those guys could repair it for you.
Yeah, they died in about 1894, Geoff.
Right,
yeah,
right.
That's the problem there. Yeah, same as... Yeah.
The moths got them, too.
Yeah. Yes. Mind you, it'd be a good way for a tailor to go rather than cremation.
It would.
They left him
carried
for the,
away by
they
moths.
They left him for the moths.
Radio X.
Proud day for the Gavmeister today. The Woodman's daughter goes off to school, first day at school, first day in uniform.
Yeah.
You got the photo done, yeah?
I did, yeah.
Her and her brother.
That's right, yeah. Okay. He's already at the school. This is her first day, but she had a little pinafore dress. And
okay, did you get them both so they're squinting into the sun?
Absolutely did, yes. Oh,
fantastic. You've got to do that outside the,
right
the house.
Photograph.
So they're squinting with an old camera, just like my dad did years before. Awful photographs. So you can't even see our eyes.
The naive enthusiasm of, it's all about to begin.
It's all about to begin, exactly right. But in fact, the world's about to become quite dull. But did you get it so you couldn't see her eyes in the photograph? Because they're squinting so badly.
Exactly right.
At that age, they have big cheeks.
Yeah, a lot of cheekbone in the photos. Yeah,
they just start to look like those people I was talking about who just live in those thick tents. With smoke.
Or the Kim Jong-un look, isn't it? He's got those high cheekbones.
He's got very high cheekbones. Okay, are we ready for this, Kev? Because there's a real scandal here in the private sector. If you really want to get some sympathy, don't give us articles about the cost of school uniform. When we hear that Marks & Spencer is selling school uniforms, the dresses for 89p.
Wow.
In huge sale. Well, I mean, after the start of term, I've seen it for a year.
Just old stock.
Because the style really changes from year to year. Right? I mean, next year, that's going to be the wrong leather. The lapel's going to be much slimmer on the horrible blazer. Yeah.
No, this style would be considered vulgar next year.
Yeah, but sometimes you look at those ones and you sort of think to yourself, sorry, was there a competition of who could use the most man-made fibres?
Oh.
Yeah. I've got something even more synthetic than that.
Yeah, you've got the little dress that just stands up on its own.
Yeah.
And the jumpers that crackle.
Yeah, they really crackle. Yeah.
Yes, and then all your hair goes up with them as you take them. You sort of think, wow, I can't breathe in this. You may as well just wear a bin bag.
Yeah.
Or you may as well just make them out of shopping bags.
Yes.
Just do a V-neck shopping bag. I get this. Enrolling your child at a preparatory school comes at a premium, but the fees are only the beginning. Get this. At Garden House School in Chelsea, fees are $7,500 a term, a bit more, nearly $8,000 a term.
Yeah.
Wow, it's a day school. Dressing a girl costs $1,300.
What?
But guys, that includes a 152 quid Harris tweed coat. Harris tweed.
But you're going to have to, how old are those kids? So you're going to have to replace it every
four.
Year?
Every 4 or 5 months.
Eight.
If they're growing
eight.
Fast.
They're growing fast, aren't they? Yeah. So they get a 30-pound beret. But presumably if they're going to go, their heads are pretty big anyway.
They don't need a 30-pound beret.
No, they don't. I got you those ones from a gift shop the other day.
They were what, a couple of euros?
No, they're 18 euros actually.
No.
I spent on you. Yeah, I spent 18 euros on you there because it's a proper Basque beret. So I don't think that's a cheap thing, all right?
Well, you said
yeah, I know, I built it. I suddenly thought that, but it was quite an upmarket tourist shop.
Okay.
Called Burberry. most items from a single approved supplier. They've got to go to these poor rich people.
Yeah, you get funneled across to the one guy.
Is that an oxymoron or a contradiction? These poor rich people.
Poor rich people.
No, it means nothing is the answer. Although shoes, luckily, you can buy those from Harrods.
Oh, Oh.
Well, no, you got the choice. There's only one items that are approved from one seller, but you can buy the shoes from Harrods, Peter Jones, or Papui.
And so you are free to go to those other places.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely right. Also, this is what I like. Hill House, which is where Prince Charles went.
Yeah.
They have these sort of corduroy knickerbockers for boys.
Do they?
Yeah, the boys wear knickerbockers. But they're called red breeches. They're 50 quid. But you could only get those from Billings and Edmunds.
Are they by appointment? They must be. Billings and Edmunds.
I bet they don't do a lot of... I bet that's a good cash stream for them. There's a £97 blazer from the... you know, St. Thomas's in Battersea, which is where...
Right.
The royal kids go.
Okay.
Mm. You know, Williams, nice children. Mm. So that's 100 quid for the blazer there. Prince George and Charlotte go there. And but you also have to get there. I don't know if you've got to go through this, Gav. A winter pinafore, which costs the winter pinafore costs 60 quid. But again, you can get that. Again, you can get that from Perry's. Presumably not Fred.
But also you need about a half dozen of each.
Yes, of course you do.
Because they get torn every day.
But you can sell them secondhand, which is nice. So,
buy them really big and let them grow into them.
That is the idea, but yeah, they go so fast you'd have to...
It's not the most expensive. Scotland has got one, which is Glenarmond College near Perth, which I think where Dan O'Connell went.
Mm.
And it's not at all.
It's a services boy.
But a formal kilt jacket.
Formal kilt jacket?
Yes, they've got a formal kilt jacket there.
I want one of those.
That's about 117 quid. Kilts are around 87. but a tweed jacket, that's a quid cheaper than the formal kilt jacket. You can get the tweed jacket for 116. Which is really good.
Don't they wear tails at Eton?
They do.
A top hat when they go out.
They wear tails at Eton. And I can tell you now, just a suit at £15,000 a term at Eton with waistcoat, tailcoat, and striped trousers cost 210 quid.
Wow.
Wow.
So a couple of people I know have been to Eton. One of them is a real old boy. And he always calls what I call a jacket. I think they just do this. I mean, there's an old thing. How do you know when someone's been to Eton? They tell you.
Yeah.
They love to refer to a jacket like you and I wear, as a coat.
Oh, so whatever it is, the other one.
Yes. No. An overcoat is an overcoat or a top coat.
Yeah.
But your jacket is your coat.
So you've got a waistcoat, a coat, and an overcoat.
And an overcoat. Yes.
Oh, God.
But your jacket isn't. That's not a jacket. That's only a jacket when it's a sports coat. A sports jacket or a blazer. But otherwise, what we think of as a jacket is not.
Oh, they're so difficult.
Your
aren't
collar's
they?
Turned up on your coat.
Yes.
Must remember to do it.
Radio X.
Oh, man. So Harry's got it really wrong.
What did he do? Go on.
Well, you know what he did, Gav. He's done that thing.
Oh, yeah. He did that charity stock trading thing, didn't he?
Yeah. Yesterday in the mail, Kate has gone to the Royal Horticultural Society in Surrey.
That's right, yeah.
With Mary Berry.
And rode in a trailer.
It's very easy being a royal. Just keep the mail happy.
That's it.
That's
all you need to do.
Because they won't rest. Once they smell blood, they won't rest.
That's right.
Now, Harry has decided to get himself out. Where has his image problem come from? They must be thinking, why don't they like it? We were so popular.
Elitist private jets and things have been troubling him.
Right. No, but the thing about the Mail is, they're talking about the private jets. No, they don't care about that. They don't care about private jets. They've never been the big... the Daily Mail, fighting for a greener world. They don't. No.
Yeah.
It's a hypocrisy.
That's
it's
right,
because they spotted a weakness. And they wouldn't have spotted the weakness at all. And I told them this when they didn't give us the footers of the bubby.
That's all they needed to do,
didn't
they?
That's all they needed to do. The male readership, it's like the relatives you didn't invite after all they've done.
They really
and you
are.
Didn't and you never invited them after all they've invested. Well, we like the royals.
Yeah,
we're
did
big fans, but we felt
until then
by not inviting us in through the Daily Mail.
So that's how it is now,
and that's how it is now. We're not very big. No, actually, I don't like that, Harry. And I think Meghan's very pushy and rude since she's been in our country.
Yeah, that is the game. That's
who they are. Yeah. That's who they are. And let me tell you, the people who write it, they love giving it to a royal.
They really do.
My
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
They hate having to be nice.
Yeah.
At the moment, you sense with Kate and Wills, the only reason they're being nice is because it serves a purpose of being... I think that Kate's turning into a very nice woman. She went with Mary Berry the other day.
She wouldn't hold off on photos of the babies.
I bet she wouldn't. They always show us the babies as their extended family.
Yeah.
Well, they're family, aren't they?
You're right. That is the battle.
And
that's
on. When they had their baby, they were straight outside showing. They didn't have it in private in some.
No.
They didn't even have it in the cottage anyway, Edith.
They were very prompt.
They pretended to have a home birth, but they didn't. They had it in that hospital, the Portland, where the celebrities go and the Arab people. I'm being deadly serious, Gav. That's what's
no, I
done,
think you're right.
That's what's done them. Anyway,
is, yeah.
So Harry has decided on this day, the day after we have the image in the mail of Kate with Mary Berry. On the back of a tractor.
In a flowery dress.
In a flowery dress, covered with bunting. Not her, obviously.
No, no, the trailer.
In a dress yeah. made of bunting. On the back of a tractor in Surrey, yeah. laughing with Mary Berry. Probably
it's a perfect
pausing
storm.
For cake and jam.
Princessitude.
And that is what, that's all we want. Meanwhile, Harry's in the city raising money on phones.
Doing Gordon Gekko deals.
Doing Gordon yeah. Gekko deals.
Yeah, lunches
looking
for
evil.
Wimps.
Lunches for wimps. Greed is good.
Yeah. It's not the wisest choice,
no.
is it?
No. But also, you've even got Elton and everyone telling them that they're being really treated badly by the press.
Mm.
And you sort of think, well, you say that. We just wanted to see the little wooden puppy. They could have easily put a wooden one there. We wouldn't
that would have been enough.
That would have been enough.
Yeah.
Have we seen the kid yet?
I don't know.
Santa, have we seen the baby?
Yeah, they released some official...
Oh, yes, they did they? Yes. But it wasn't, you know...
He hasn't sure released a single yet. I know that.
If you ask me, Santa, too little, too late. We were still very much insulted. I read the mail, I looked at a picture of her, and I thought, oh, I don't trust her. There's something about her. There's something about her I don't trust.
No.
Too ambitious, that
In
girl.
In fact, it's disgusting.
It's disgusting. With her royal boxes and fake airs and graces. I tell you, I'd like to hear a bit more about his the father.
That's right.
Bring him over and put him in a castle.
Mr. Markle.
He seems like a really good bloke.
He does.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Please tell a friend about it. Rate and review. Don't forget to listen to the show weekdays from 4 till 7. That's PM. Such a difference, that is. PM means...
Imagine if it was...
No, PM means you've really got there after all this time doing yeah. radio. But yeah. AM now, that'd be partridge for me. And I don't know what I'd do, Gav. Yeah. Well, I'd stay in bed and make you do it.
Yeah.
Right, if you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk.